Lord, we thank you that we can just clap because we're not impressed by anything that we see or hear, but we prayerfully are overwhelmed with what those songs represent. And I pray now that just through our next few moments together, that the miracle that those angels heralded, that child that meant hope for the world, would become crystallized in our minds, and what that meant, why it happened, and what that should produce in us. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome. I have not had a chance, obviously, to meet some of our guests. I am Todd Wagner. I am the pastor here at Watermark, and this is my friend,
Jenna McJunkin.
And Jenna, as you all can see, we're going to take a seat right here. You can tell that Jenna and I are a little different. Jenna, how are we different?
You are unusually large.
I'm unusually large. You know, I'd have gone the different direction with that, but I understand why you didn't. What we wanted to do tonight is Jenna and I are friends. We happen to be good friends with Jenna's parents, Kirk and Kathy McJunkin, who are members of Watermark and were part of the group that formed this body a couple of years back. And Jenna and I have known each other. I knew Jenna when she was in Kathy's womb and celebrated her birth. And here we are, as she shared a second ago, some 12 years later. And not many weeks ago, there was a prayer request that was submitted. And the prayer request that was submitted was for Jenna, specifically, as she was trying to minister to a friend. But before we explain that to you, we got to catch you up on some details. Jenna and I are a little bit different. And one of the ways we're different is the way that God made our physical bodies. And Jenna, share with our friends out there what doctors, how they explain or how the world explains how your body is physically different than mine.
I'm a dwarf, and one type of dwarfism is
achondroplasia.
Achondroplasia.
Yeah, okay. Jenna has achondroplasia, which is the most common form of dwarfism. And and Jenna, as a result of that, obviously, you're not of average height with other gals and boys at your age, correct? And but you're you go to high school. Excuse me, in sixth grade in Plano.
Yes.
And you are the only person with achondroplasia at your junior high. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
How do your classmates teach you treat you as a result of that? What have you experienced in your first 7 years of public education?
Well, when they first meet me, they don't really see the inside of my spirit, but they stare at me because I'm really different, but once I get to know them, they really don't see me as little. They can't see me any different than
yeah.
the way I am.
In fact, I shared with Jen on the way over here. I had not told my children that we were going to have Jen involved with what we were going to try and communicate tonight. And they said, well, why are you doing that with Jenna? I said, well, because Jenna is what a lot of people call a dwarf. And my oldest boy said, Jenna is a dwarf? Just like that. And I asked him, and I told Jenna this. I said, well, Cooper, do you even know what a dwarf is? And he goes, Dad, I've seen the movie. Snow White, seen the movie. So I told Jenna it was because Cooper had never seen her whistle while she works, and that was the confusion. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, right. But you know, it was interesting because my other daughter, Kirby, was in the car, and she goes, you know, Dad, it wouldn't be right if Jenna was anything, if she was taller. That's not who Jenna is. But sometimes when you're a kid that doesn't look like everybody else, I think you said that at times folks have made you, said things that you've heard or don't know how to respond to you at first until they get to know your heart. And tell me how at times they've made you feel, in your young life.
Sometimes I'm sad, but then I remember that God created me the way He wanted to.
And what kind of things makes you sad, Jenna?
Sometimes when people stare or say bad things about me.
Behind your back, you hear them, and you know they're whispering about you and talking about you. And that kind of be heavy on the heart sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It sure can. You know, Jenna and I talked about this, and we're gonna now draw an analogy that really is why she's up here this evening. Jenna and I are different physically on the outside, but we share two very similar things on the inside. And what's interesting when folks look at my life, you know, they see me as a guy of average or above average height, and And that my physical body has not been affected by this ugly thing in the world called sin. That they look and generally go, wow, that, Todd looks like, what I think God largely intended humankind to look like. You know, exception, we've talked about the big nose that's pointed to about 5:15, not 6 o'clock like it should be. And there's not in my immediate, from a distance, physical effects of brokenness in my life. Whereas we've talked about with Jenna, that when God made Jenna in the womb, He allowed her to be created in a way that we can look at Jenna physically and say, wow, this world has some painful things in it. And sometimes when people are created, they're created in a way that is not how, and I asked Jenna this question, do you think Adam and or Eve had achondroplasia? And your response was?
No.
And why did they not, why do you think that Adam and Eve were not dwarfs?
Because God created them, but there was no sin.
Yeah. There was no brokenness in the world yet. There was nobody that was born that was blind. Nobody that was born that was lame. Nobody was born with diseases like spinal bifida or diseases that sometimes affect their ability to relate intellectually to other people. That stuff hadn't arrived yet. And there's a verse in the scripture that we want to look at. It's in John chapter 9, in verse 1 and 3. And Jesus was confronted by some folks. He was around a blind man. And it says, as Jesus passed by them, He saw a blind man who was blind from birth, much like Jenna was born into this class of dwarfism we call achondroplasia. And it says about Christ that His disciples asked Him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Because a lot of folks think that for somebody to be born this way, it must be because either this person had somehow offended God in a even a terrible thinking in a previous life, or somehow they think at an early age, therefore, that they were cursed and stricken with blindness. And Jesus responded by saying, it was neither this man nor his parents, but it was so that what, Jenna? Do you remember why that man was born blind?
Neither. It's not because of his parents' sin or...
or because of anything that baby had done in the womb. What did Jesus have in mind and God have in mind that He would allow that child to be born blind? Do you remember? That's all right. It was that child was going to be born blind. And I want to just tell you something. I'm going to introduce you to what I would call an unreasonable God tonight. That sometimes there are things that happen in this world. In fact, in this last year, we have buried a number of children in our body, more than we ever want to have to experience the horror of that with. And at two of those funerals, one with a set of twins and one with a sweet young child, I just said, our God is a notoriously unpredictable and impractical God. And He's an unreasonable God. In fact, God is so unreasonable that He would allow this family to experience this loss and this child to live a short period of days or months or years on this earth just so there might be somebody that would be here in that moment that could hear of the hope that this family has in Jesus Christ. I draw that from two places. One from John chapter 9, where it says, let me just tell you, God is so unreasonable that He would allow this family to experience incredible hardship and this child to never get to see the beauty of the creation that God made just so that He could somehow be glorified. Now that offends us on a first blush. You mean to tell me that God allows that to happen? And even with Jenna, we talked about how He allowed brokenness to be introduced in the way that He shaped her chromosomes and DNA and her genes coming together. Possibly for the reason that He loves somebody out there that if He made Jenna any other way, it would not fit in His sovereign plan to reach them the way that He wanted to. Now that gets to the prayer request, because you've got a friend, don't you? Because you don't have a friend at your school who has experienced the effects of dwarfism. But you have a friend, Andrea, that I think we're about to see. And let everybody see Andrea. And tell me what folks at school have said about Andrea. You can look at it. You see the picture right there? Why is Andrea's hair that length?
She has cancer. She has leukemia.
She has leukemia.
Yes.
And this is the second time you share with me that Andrea has lost her hair. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what have you seen happen to Andrea as a result of her going through the treatments that she's had to with leukemia?
People make fun of her and stare at her and... It allowed me to talk to her about our differences with Christ.
So you went to Andrea when you saw her experiencing something that she had never experienced before. And you saw that it was sometimes making her what? How was it making Andrea feel?
Sad.
Yeah. It was making her sad because people were whispering about her, maybe making fun of her in a mean way, and laughing about her. Is that correct? And you knew somebody else that had experienced that, right?
Yes.
Who was that?
Me.
You. All right. And yet in the midst of that, and Jenna, before we now talk about what happened with Andrea, tell me, you said that there were other kids at your school that would sometimes come to you and tell you stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would they tell you? Some other kids in the school that didn't have cancer and weren't dwarfs, but they would sometimes come to you and talk to you about what kind of stuff?
Their weight or what boys thought about them
or what they look like. Yeah, what they look like. So you had 12-year-old girls, or maybe last year 11, friends, that would come to you and they would say, Jenna, you know what? I don't really like the way God made me. Because they thought maybe their weight wasn't good, right?
Yes.
And maybe people made fun of them behind their back. Or you said, because of bumps that were on their face. Okay? And what did you have a chance? Did you ever look at them and go, let me tell you want to see what a pimple, you know, something worse than a pimple? You know, ta-da, right? Did you ever feel like doing that to them? Give me a pimple, please, right? Yeah, but that's not what you said, is it? What'd you say to those folks?
I said, well, you shouldn't worry about what anybody thinks about you. You should just, people should concentrate on the inside in your heart. And God loves you and He made you the way you are.
Now, how'd you learn that?
Because I'm different and He made me a certain way. And it says in the Bible that He created us.
That's right. And we talked about this. Your mom and your dad, I know, have read you. There's a little psalm, Psalm 139, that says that everybody that God made, even that blind man, whose body in effect was affected by the fallenness and brokenness that God didn't want in this world, that he was fearfully and what?
Wonderfully made.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have a faith that allows you to believe that same thing, don't you?
Yes.
Now, will you always be a dwarf, Jenna?
No.
Okay. When will that change, you think?
Well, when I go to heaven, I'll be clean.
That God's going to take care of all the effects of sin in your life. You believe that?
Yes.
And why do you believe that?
Because He died on the cross for our sins, and He's going to give us eternal life.
And He promises, and He gives hope to people whose bodies and lives are broken by sin. And your friends see in you a life that they go, wow, look at Jenna's life. This is no pimple. This is a real serious blemish, right? You know, and you know what's so interesting, Jenna? Those of us that know you, we like my 7-year-old son goes, Jenna has a blemish? What's the blemish? Because there's such beauty in the way you carry yourself. There's such confidence and peace in that this is the way God made me. I asked you this earlier, and it's good to ask this in front of them. Have you ever been mad at God or ask God why He made you that way? Nope.
No.
And do you ever stop to think why you haven't asked that question?
Yes.
And why do you think that is?
Because I know that God loves me, yeah, and He created me especially the way He wanted it.
Do you know how many other people sitting out there have never asked God, why did you have to make me this way? There might be one other one, and I don't know who they'd be. You know that? Do you know? I mean, that is an incredibly unique thing. And that's why people come to you and they go, Jenna, I look at your life and I see that you don't have things that I've got. And I think if I had those things, I don't know if I could be as, if we had to name you as one of the dwarfs, you'd be joyful. I think that name's available, unfortunately. And I would tell you that we don't see that joy in our life, Jenna. And so we come to you, and when we're asking you, saying, I don't really like the way God made me, what we're saying is, would you explain to me the secret of your hope? Now that gets us back to Andrea. All right? Tell me what you felt like you needed to do with Andrea.
We started talking about our differences and how people made fun of us. And I had told her, I said, you know what, Andrea? The only thing that matters is that God loves you and He made you especially, but He allowed you to have cancer, but He didn't plan it. But He allowed you to have cancer, and He loves you no matter what. And people shouldn't focus on what you look like. They should focus on your spirit and your heart. Mm.
And so you offered to Andrea something that, you know, hey, Andrea, I know what it's like to not be happy, in effect, to realize that I'm different. And so you said, Andrea, can I share with you why I've got hope even when my life is not the way that probably if I could sketch it out, you know, I'd sketch it out. And then you told Andre about Jesus and how He dealt with your brokenness, both in your heart. And Jen and I, this is what Jen and I have in common now. Though my body isn't overtly as physically broken in the way God made it as Jenna's is, inside we share some brokenness, don't we?
Yes.
What are some of the common traits that you and I have together?
We both sin and we were selfish and naughty sometimes.
Yes, that's the way I like to say I'm naughty. That's what I do. Yeah. Yes, I am. Believe me. My wife has other words for naughty. You know that? Yeah. And that's right, Jenna. And what you and I do is that we have found and that God has entered into our sin and He's fixed that. And we believe one day He's going to deal with that broken part of our lives, don't we? Mm-hmm. All right, now here's the hook. Here's how we're going to relate this all to Christmas. You know, the Bible talks about how what you saw when I heard what Jenna did, and I got that prayer request for Jenna, to pray for Jenna, she goes to Andrea. And I want to just show you just a few sweet pictures of Jenna and Andrea again. And as she was getting ready to go and spend some time with her, Jenna just said, would you please pray for me and my good friend Andrea, who you now see the last shot of them out back hugging each other. I want Andrea to know that she can have hope. Did you tell Andrea that God would heal her of her cancer? And when you told her that, what did you mean by that, Jenna?
Said that He will be with you through it, and He will, when you die, He will clean you.
Yeah, even if her cancer ends and her not knowing what it means to go to high school, that God can still heal that cancer, can He? And what Christmas is really all about, and this is what I wanted to, as I heard that, and I heard what Jenna McJunkin did, is she took the brokenness that was in a friend's life, and she goes, you know what, I've got brokenness in my life. And she entered in and identified with the brokenness that was in Andrea's life to allow Andrea to see that there's one that can give us hope and deal with that brokenness. And I started to think about that. How great it is to have a friend that can relate to our pain and give us hope in the midst of our pain. That loves us enough to say, I'm going to identify with you. Now, can you imagine, Jenna, if you didn't have achondroplasia, you weren't a dwarf, and that you so wanted to love your friend, Andrea, that you said, God, if you've got to give me cancer, if you've got to make me physically look so different that I get whispered about, that I sometimes go through the pain of not looking like other people, if that's what it takes for me to get to love Andrea, I'm willing to become a dwarf. I'm willing to get cancer myself so I can love Andrea. Can you imagine that kind of love? That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, folks, that's Christmas. I want to say it to you this way. The Scriptures say that Jesus and what Christmas is all about and the reason that we sing is because our God left the glory which defined His existence to identify with our brokenness and to bring us hope. And what you've got is about 2,000 years ago, as we celebrate in our history, we have a God that created us, that we chose to introduce the things in our life that would result in babies being born blind, paralyzed, spines exposed, digestive tracts that aren't working correctly, older bodies that get cancer, some that get other horrible forms of disease. And it breaks God's heart, and He knows the pain that that brings physically. And He also knows that there's a spiritual battle, and some of what you used and firm to frame naughty, Jenna, that there's things in my life, the selfishness, the insecurity, the pride and arrogance, the anger that sometimes ruins and destroys my life, the brokenness in my life that manifests itself in all those different ways, that God loved me enough to identify with all those things, to be born into a world where He was exposed to all the things that I'm exposed to, in order that he might give me hope. Here's a couple of verses to share with you the miracle of Christmas. In Hebrews chapter 4 it says, "For we don't have a high priest as we worship a God who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." So it says, "Therefore, knowing that we have a God that can relate to us in that way, let us draw near with confidence to that throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need." It says a little bit earlier, two chapters earlier in that same book, "Therefore, since children," it says, "share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same." Folks, this is what Christmas is. That through identifying with the effects and wages of sin in our life through death, that he might render powerless him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. And that he might free those that are trapped by our despair and brokenness, and that we're subject to fear and slavery to that all our lives, that Jesus can speak to us and say, "Todd, I can identify with your brokenness. I can identify with your pain. And I want to give you hope in the midst of it." Now here's one last thing I want to do. Jenna, we all are so grateful for what you're modeling for us, for what you teach us about what Christmas is. The only thing you didn't do that Jesus did is you didn't choose to become a dwarf in order to love Andrea. But you took what God gave you and you said, "I can use this to relate to somebody else who needs hope just like I need hope." And so we have together gotten you a gift. And I want to give that to you. And then we're going to make our last point and sing some more, okay? Why don't you go over there and get your gift that we got you right there. No, we're not that crazy. It's this little one right here. I thought you might. Here, Jen, it's right here. Why don't you come here? Come here. Think we're loaded? What's your problem, huh? Come here. I want you to open that up for us. Now, we just got through, and I'll say this as you open it, with studying a little book called Malachi. And Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi is the Hebrew word which means messenger. And the word for messenger is also the same word in the Bible for angel. Okay? And an angel in the Bible, and the ones that we heard singing, we sang about them singing 2,000 years ago, those angels, you can never tell by what the word in the Hebrew or the Greek means, whether or not it's a spirit being that God created, or whether it's a human being that is going to be faithful as God's messenger to a world. And so this is a little something we got you. Go ahead and open it up. That we want you to be able to wear all the time. And to remember that we are so grateful that you have modeled for us what God wants us all to be at Christmas in light of what He's done. You won't be able to see it, but this is a James Avery dangle ring. And a little dangle ring in size 8, I believe. Right? There we go. Has a little angel on it. And Jenna, when you wear that on your finger, we want you to look down and remember that, you know what, in the midst of how God made you, He wants you to do something. And this is where I want you to read this verse for us. It comes from 2 Corinthians. You and I looked at this earlier. And this is what you just did. So why don't you read 2 Corinthians for us, 3 through 10. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read that.
"All praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us."
There's another verse there for you.
"Oh, you can be sure that the more we suffer to Christ, the more God will shower us with comfort through Christ."
Keep going. Lead us all the way through it.
"So when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for you, your benefit and
salvation. Let me say that one more time. What that's saying is that sometimes God allows brokenness to be in our life. And this is how crazy God is. Do you want to know something? God loves Andre enough that if He had to allow you to live your life as a dwarf and that to be the only way she could understand that there's hope in the midst of brokenness, He loves Andre enough to let you be His messenger in that way. How does that make you feel?
Good.
Does it make you feel angry that He would use you that way? Does it make you feel special that He would trust you enough to love somebody that He died for? Yeah.
Yes.
"For when God comforts us," what's it say?
"For when God comforts us, it is so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in suffering, you will also share God's comfort. I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through it in the
province
of Asia. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it.
That's a reference to Texas OU weekend, is what that really is, for Texas fans and your family. But I understand. Keep going. Read verse 9.
In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God, who can raise the dead, and He did deliver us from
mortal danger.
And we are confident that He will continue to deliver us.
That's right. Folks, this is Christmas. I want to tell you what this little girl did is about as great a picture of what God wants to do in your life as anything I've known in my life. That's why I asked sweet Jenna if she would allow me to do this and say, Jenna, the way you identified with Andrea's pain to give her hope in the midst of death is really what Christmas is all about. Now, that little dangle ring that Jenna's wearing to be a messenger for God is frankly what the Lord wants us all to wear, because this is where Jenna and I are very much alike. Is that my body, though you can't see it externally, is obviously, my body has been broken by insecurity and by pride and by arrogance and by self-service, and you can just pick the naughtiness du jour in my life. And what God wants me to do as a man that has seen the personal pain from those things and see how it's affected my life, in the midst of that, met the God that has given Jenna joy and hope despite her condition, has given me hope and forgiveness despite my condition, wants me to come alongside my neighbors and friends, my Andreas, and to identify with their despair and their hopelessness and their confusion, whether it be related to a physical death that they're going through or an emotional pain or a self-destructive life, and say, I know the pain, I know the fear associated with that, and let me tell you, there's hope. And a God who wants to enter in and identify with that and deliver you from it. Finally at the point of death, but even today, to let you start to experience life. There's 3 points that you need to get today. One, that this is Christmas, that God identified with your sin in order that He might bring hope to our brokenness. Secondly, just as Jenna, we said, went and used her brokenness to identify with her neighbor's brokenness and offer her the hope that faith in Jesus alone can provide, God wants us, if you know Christ here this Christmas, He wants us to use the brokenness which He has delivered us from. And we want our guests and friends to know this. We're about to celebrate our great hope. And it's not that we've got resumes of righteousness that we think make us cut the mustard with God. But we can identify with the horror of sin and speak to others who have rebelled against God and bring them to the hope that faith in Christ alone can provide. And though we may not have James Avery angel dangle rings, He calls us to embody Christmas every day. And there is a world all around you that if you don't, if you don't become God with them, hope in the midst of brokenness and sin, they may not know the hope of Christmas. And that would disappoint God greatly. What we're going to do is we're going to sing O Holy Night in just a moment. And as we do, we're going to pass out the reminder that God has given His church of His great love for them, that He left the comfort of His eternal glory to identify with sin and the wages of it, and His body was broken and His blood was shed in order to give us hope. And that's, folks, ultimately where Christmas runs. We want to let you know that anybody who has made a decision to deal with their brokenness by faith in Jesus Christ alone is the means through which they can be forgiven, provided hope, and ultimately healed, is welcome to celebrate and share in the Lord's Supper. You need to know that taking this is a profession of faith. And it might be a great time for you to come to this Jesus and for the first time understand what Christmas is. In the way you saw Jenna identify in her brokenness with another broken person to give them hope because of Jesus, You might go, that's what Christmas is. That's what God did for me. I want to know that God. I want to love and serve that God. I want to restore my relationship with that God. And I accept His sacrifice for me. If that is, in effect, your profession of faith, I ask that you tell somebody. Tell one of us before you leave so we can encourage you and follow up with you. Share it with the guest, the member or the friend that brought you here tonight. If you choose, if you're not at the place yet where that is an appropriate expression for you, we would ask that you would just pass it. We're not going to love you any less. But I will tell you that in not taking that, the Scripture says you avoid a stricter judgment on yourself if you don't know Christ. To take the bread, to take the cup that is symbolic of what Christ has done and not really do business with God in your heart is to say, I know I'm a sinner, I know God is holy, I know the extent that He went through at Christmas to love me, and I mock that. And God obviously doesn't take that lightly. We love you. And we offer you the joy of Christmas. That on that holy night centuries ago, Christ was born. The Savior of humankind that came and did business with the brokenness in our soul. Receive the elements and we'll take them together in just a moment. Well, the God who loved us so much that He left the glory that was who He has eternally been to identify with our brokenness has left us a reminder of His great love. He told us that, frankly, as often as we gather together, and I believe at every meal that believers are together, as they break bread, let that be a reminder of what He has done for you. There's an animal that died. There's a vegetable that was split. There's a piece of bread that was broken. He said, every time you eat and you're together with fellow believers, you take that opportunity to remember His incredible love for you. And then certainly when we gather in times like this as a church. He said that after He finished the meal, He took the bread and He lifted it up. And after giving thanks, He broke it. And He said, this is My body, which is going to identify with your brokenness and sin that you might have hope. That's Christmas. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of Me. And then in like manner it says, He took the cup and He said, this cup is the representative of the blood of the new covenant, which is starting to show there's a new day in my relationship with You. That the sacrifice that is necessary to satisfy an infinitely holy God, because you have broken your commitment to walk with Him, because you've turned aside to go another way, that God has cut a new deal with you. And instead of giving you the justice due you, I will pour out My justice on another, and I will make Him who knew no sin to become sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God in Him. And Christ said, as often as you drink this cup, you do it in remembrance of the fact that it's My blood that cut that new deal. A deal founded in grace, where justice is not ignored, but satisfied, that He might declare just those who are unjust before Him. The blood of Christ shed for you. Father, we thank You for the picture of Jenna McJunkin's life. That she identified with the brokenness of a friend in order to give that friend hope. I thank You for what we can do in our brokenness. That we can identify with the suffering because of sin and physical frailty and infirmity to give people hope and say, this is not the day. God does not always rush in and show up and allow dwarfs' bodies to grow, cancer to be stricken, spinal cords to be fused, you know, pain to go away, heartbreak to disappear, dysfunction and abuse to stop. Lord, we know that there will be a day, another Christmas, where You will come not as a baby, but as the Lord of every man. And we long for that day and wait for that day, but are grateful for this day that You are so unreasonable that You would allow those that You died to save to suffer a while longer that we might identify with those who need hope. And in such, become a picture of Your love for us that 2,000 years ago left Your place of comfort to identify with our sin so that on that silent night, that night divine, we could have hope anew. We thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.